There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, it's not rare that a pope would make mention of abortion. Previous popes have made a lot of mention of it. This pope, Francis, has been reported to be kind of, well, a little more cautious on the subject. I don't think that's true. In fact, today, Pope Francis actually made a statement about abortion and explicitly mentioned abortion in that statement, and he called it a part of the throwaway culture that we have there, that some of these children will, as he said, never see the light of day. Joining us to talk about this and several of the stories pertaining to abortion and the pro-life cause, Wendy Wright, Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, the Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. Wendy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be on.
The Pope said that abortion was part of evidence of a throwaway culture. He says we cannot be indifferent to those suffering from hunger, especially children. And he went on to say, for example, it is frightful even to think that there are children victims of abortion who will never see the light of day. What's your reaction?
Well, it's significant not only in what he said, but the context. He was speaking to the entire diplomatic corps of the Vatican. So these are all these top officials who represent the Vatican in countries around the world, and including the United Nations. And he not only said, he spoke regarding abortion, but he likened it in the context of the most horrific abuses against children. The rest of his quote, what he went on to say was he included children who are being used as soldiers, abused and killed in armed conflicts, and children being bought and sold in that terrible form of modern slavery, which is human trafficking, which is a crime against humanity. So he lumped abortion in with the most horrific abuses against children.
Now, he's speaking, obviously, to kind of a global incident, because it's not something just completely isolated to the Western world or to the United States. How do you think we ought to be hearing this in the United States context?
Yeah, you're right. This is to the entire world. That's significant for the work that we do at CFAM. We're focused on the United Nations. There's been a tremendous effort for 20 years to try and create an international right to abortion. And thankfully, they've not been able to obtain that. But there's continues to be a very strong effort, not only to try and create a legal right, but to create what lawyers would call facts on the ground, to get doctors and nurses and midwives doing abortions regardless of what the law is. So it is significant that the Pope spoke to the world, especially this being the 20th anniversary of this major effort to try and get the UN to create an international right to abortion.
Do we fail to make the connection often because maybe we are a little insular here in the United States, but fail to make the connection that the Pope did make with other forms of abusing, misusing children that occur not only here but elsewhere
on the planet? And what he did, it really helps to bring home the graphic violence of abortion. No one would agree that human trafficking of children is fine or should be legal, or that using children as soldiers is something that should be approved. And it's something that there is universal agreement on, and it really helps to make concrete in our minds how these children are used for violence, that as not only to perpetrate violence but to be subjects of violence, and that abortion is like that as well. And he did not distinguish between first trimester, second trimester, third trimester. He said abortion overall, and this is significant. It's causing some of the mainstream media to have to do some they're in some contortions in trying to fit this in with what they had thought were earlier statements by the Pope that downplayed abortion. So this makes it very clear that this Pope holds the same position as previous popes, that abortion is a moral evil. It is violence. It is not something that should be allowed.
Notice anything odd about this picture? Nope. In the GOP-controlled House, it is par for the course. Yet another all-male panel, again, debating legislation that would impose sweeping restrictions on abortion coverage and make the procedure much less affordable for women. Back to work from less than a week, and this is what is topping the GOP agenda. Chaired by none other than Arizona Congressman Trent Franks, Mr. Rape Barely Results in Pregnancy. This latest version of the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act would ban the ACA's new state-level insurance marketplaces from providing coverage for abortion care services and impose an additional tax to small businesses that offer abortion coverage to their employees. Now, clearly, they were not interested in taking the advice of a group of women legislators who wrote a scathing letter to the GOP caucus calling for a focus on issues like, oh, child care, family leave, you know, the concrete policies that would actually improve women's lives. They said in the letter, quote, "The time has come to stop wasting taxpayers' time and dollars waging attacks on women's constitutionally protected right to make informed healthcare decisions about their own bodies with their own doctors and work on actual legislative agenda for women's needs."
That's Karen Finney, host of an MSNBC show called Disrupt, talking about an all-male congressional House panel debating an abortion bill. Wendy, should being a male disqualify a congressman from being able to debate or speak to an issue of abortion?
Well, she apparently didn't have a problem with the fact that all the Democrat congressmen on that panel were also male. It seems to be if only if you are a Republican, a conservative, that you're not allowed to talk about abortion if you're a man. But if you're a Democrat and you're liberal, then it's okay to speak on abortion, but again, only if you are pro-abortion. She really misrepresented what this legislation is about. And she claimed that it would create sweeping restrictions on abortion coverage. No, all it would do is simply say that our tax dollar funding should not go to pay for abortions. And a principle is true regardless of who says it.
Okay. So laying that issue aside, why is this particular issue being debated by this congressional panel? Why is it important?
Yeah, it's very important because under Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, taxpayers are forced to pay for abortions, for other people's abortions. No, it used to be pro-abortionists said, if you don't like abortion, don't have one. You're not forced to participate. Well, under Obamacare, yes, we're all forced to participate by funding abortions through the insurance exchange program. So this bill would help to protect people from participating, from subsidizing abortions. It's necessary. And in fact, as one of the women witnesses at this hearing said, abortion is not a social good deserving of federal funding.
Now, I wonder about this. Is it inevitable that what we're watching here with the Affordable Care Act, with the various efforts to basically make public funding the norm, that, of course, we're going to pay for abortions. Is this part of a greater plan, as you perceive it?
I think it is, and I think it's been part of a plan all along, that not only should abortion be allowed, but that everyone must participate in it, that we're all made to be accomplices. And thankfully, evangelicals and others are standing up and saying, no, we are not going, this is a bridge too far. And it's actually pricking consciences to the point where we're realizing we have got to speak up. We have got to stand against this. Even those who may have been silent before regarding abortion because they felt it didn't affect them are now seeing that if they don't speak up now, then we will all be forced to be accomplices.
One more issue I'd like your thoughts on, that is the Supreme Court not hearing this abortion law that is in Arizona. Supreme Court on Monday declined to hear Arizona's appeal of a lower court ruling that declared unconstitutional state law banning abortions beginning at 20 weeks of fetal gestation, meaning the restrictive measure is struck down. What was the law, and what does this mean?
The law stated that a baby can indisputably feel pain at 20 weeks gestation, and so abortion should not be allowed after 20 weeks. This is reminding me of the journey that the partial birth abortion ban took. It began as a state law in Nebraska. It got struck down, and the Supreme Court struck it down. But in the meantime, and beyond that, not only did other states pass laws, but then the Congress passed a law that was then signed in to effect by President George W. Bush. There is a federal bill that's been introduced that is similar to this Arizona law. It's called the Pain Capable Infant Protection Act. It would make it a federal law that babies that can feel pain from 20 weeks and beyond cannot be aborted. So I would not be discouraged by the Supreme Court not agreeing to hear this case, because the efforts continue to try and protect unborn children.
Wendy Wright is Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, the Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. We'll post a link to CFAM under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Wendy, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the subject of church architecture. Is it neutral? A church that just builds a big empty blank box, or a church that festoons the inside with all sorts of symbolism, including things like crucifixes? Is there a different theology at work in church architecture depending on what the outcome is? Chad Bird, author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled "Your Church is Too Sexy, Church Architecture Matters," will be our guest.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
I think every man, every Christian, should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January only costs $7.99. It's titled, Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org Or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, equipping you to witness Christ on the front lines. Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ.